LCMS National Housing Corporation is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During June, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to LCMS National Housing Corporation. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Conservatism is not primarily about creating the shortest possible list of rules for how our society is governed, but is about preserving the permanent things, the things that should be conserved.
When you look at the cause of pro-life, it's organically related to what we say about who Christ is and why he came.
So you cannot in any way make some coherence out of Jesus and Muhammad. The distance between the two is the distance of infinity.
Homeschooling moms with piano beginners practicing in the house, love issues, etc.
There is a misconception. It varies in degree, but I remember when I first started doing this radio program so many years ago, 20 years ago now, and I remember we would talk with Christian apologists. We would do apologetics. We would talk a lot about Christian apologetics. And it was a regular refrain from listeners, in particular Lutheran pastors, my fellow Lutheran pastors, that that was inappropriate for Lutherans to do. Lutherans don't do apologetics. They don't need apologetics. We trust the Word to do the work. Now, it took me a while to sort out what was going on. I'm not sure after 20 years whether I have it completely sorted out by this time, but I do know that, well, Lutheran theology does not base its conclusions, its arguments on reason, although reason plays a role. You can't speak a coherent sentence without engaging your reason. While Luther had a notoriously low view of reason with respect to certain things, he was a very reasonable man. He could argue with the best of them. He could actually engage in apologetics with the best of them. So how is that? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, June the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about apologetics, the apologetics of Martin Luther. In fact, Dr. Adam Francisco will be our guest a little bit later. We will be reviewing that movie that was released with high hopes. The box office is big, but not as big as you'd expect for a Star Wars story. Solo, the Star Wars story, we'll be talking about that one with Pastor Ted Geese. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest on this day, the 1st of June. The church is remembering 2nd century apologist and martyr Justin, usually known as Justin Martyr. We'll find out about that man of church history. And then it's time to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Since it is Friday, we have gathered our 4 soundbites for you to listen to and then to vote for. You can vote when we get that opportunity in the last half hour of the program by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. Joining us to talk about apologetics and the apologetics of Martin Luther, Dr. Adam Francisco. He's a regular guest, associate professor of history and political thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California. He's author of the book Martin Luther and Islam and a recent column for Concordia Theological Quarterly titled Luther's Use of Apologetics. Dr. Francisco, welcome back.
Thank you, Ted.
What if people know anything about the reformer Martin Luther? They know that he believed firmly in the efficacy of the Word, that the Word does it all. So does that mean that Luther, and then by extension Lutherans, would be opposed to apologetics?
No. Abstractly, if you think about theology abstractly, that, there's these ideas sort of floating around that they control every moment of your life. I can see where people might land there. But Luther himself believed in the efficacy of the Word, but also knew full well that there are certain arenas in which the word would not gain a hearing. And so the apologist would step in, or the Christian acting as an apologist, to tear down or break down those barriers. Much like the Apostle Paul, who certainly believed in the efficacy of the word, but when you trace his missionary journeys in the book of Acts, you see him in Thessalonica reasoning with the Jews and debating with Stoic and Epicurean philosophers, and towards the end of the book of Acts, he's standing before King Agrippa and appealing to fact and common sense.
So how did we get to the point where both Luther and Lutheranism became, not uniformly, but largely disassociated from apologetics?
I'm not sure. The person who's done a lot of work on this is Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, and he puts it in the 19th century, wherein, you know, he's written so much, and he's written a whole host of works on apologetics in the Lutheran tradition, and he marks that in the 19th century there's sort of a turn that's made, or two roads are traveled on. One is, we might call it existentialism. The other we might call, he would call it aphidism. Existentialism would say that the Christian faith is all about feeling, and you know, the truthfulness of Christianity is known by how one responds to the gospel. And the other side would be the fideistic side, if you will, faith in faith, says that all that is necessary is for the preaching of the word, and if you are elect, the Holy Spirit will give you the gift of faith and you respond. And what Dr. Montgomery would argue is that basically existentialism and fideism are kind of two sides of the same coin. Now, if you look at the big 500-year history of Lutheranism, you'll see that there's just been a whole host of apologetic activity through the ages. Currently, maybe going back three decades now, perhaps longer, there's been this, most people, or the people who reject the apologetic task tend to follow the fideistic road. Though there are some existentialists still around. I'm not exactly sure. You can't really put it or pin the point to a particular figure, although Jaroslav Pelikan, from Luther to Kierkegaard, back, I think that was published maybe in the 1960s, argues that Luther was sort of a pre-Kierkegaardian existentialist, and that seems to be, so while people may not know that work, that seems to be the way a lot of people interpret Luther who are looking at the question of Lutheran apologetics.
So before we kind of dig into how Luther employed this discipline, how should we best define apologetics in kind of the typical nuanced Lutheran fashion? Because we're certainly not talking about evidence that demands a verdict kind of apologetics here.
Well, apologetics, if you look at it just the way it's been practiced historically, it's simply a defense of the faith, or to use biblical language, the Christian giving a reason for the hope within them. And with, you know, 2,000 years of church history, obviously in every context, the apologetic task is going to be pursued differently. But by and large, the majority of the apologetic tradition starts by responding to those who make accusations against Christianity, that Christianity is in some way, or sense of the term, a cleverly devised myth. The Christian apologist responds to that charge.
So it is a primarily defensive posture adopted by the Christian apologists, their charges, and these are parrying the blows, so to speak.
Yeah, it is defensive, though there certainly is a lot of room for what some would call a positive apologetics, you know, an argument towards the truthfulness of Christianity. But that argument towards the truthfulness of Christianity is sort of preceded by some sort of, either whether it's a cultural or a particular objection to Christianity. So it is primarily defensive. At the same time, maybe in our sort of, you know, 21st century context, we need to maybe add a little more nuance to that, that it's the apologist is not just some defensive person who's always looking for fights or occasions to to argue for the truthfulness of Christianity.
So, can just to kind of put bones on that, could we call the there was a trend, and this is probably in the 60s and the early 70s, there was a trend in American Christianity to raise awareness about the various cultic groups that exist in the United States. And there was a lot of research and a lot of kind of comparing contrast work done by groups like that that had a very apologetic flavor. It would have been considered maybe a positive apologetics to say, here is what the Mormons believe, here is where they are wrong by comparison and contrast with Orthodox Christianity.
Yeah, that certainly, there's an outfit, it used to be in California. Now Hank Hanegraaff runs it. I think they're now on the East Coast, but they did a lot of cult research, and that certainly fits in the broad heading of apologetics. But in the Lutheran tradition, apologetics is that certainly fits in there. And there are certainly Lutherans who have been stellar Christian apologists vis-a-vis the claims of Mormonism, for example. But generally speaking, apologetics in the Lutheran tradition has always been approached two ways. One is from the perspective of systematic theology, maybe we might say academic theology. It works sort of like prolegomena, which is a fancy theological term that is, describes the discipline of laying out the groundwork or the foundation from which a Christian claims to make assertions about God and his disposition towards humankind. The other approach that Lutherans have taken when it comes to apologetics is more, I believe this is more Dr. Montgomery, as he puts it, he would say that apologetics is sort of a subspecies of missiology. It's a tool that is used when it's needed in the context of evangelism. In terms of like specialized cult research, creation science, and those sorts of things, they certainly fall in it in the broad field, but Lutherans have not often been specialists in those particular fields.
We're talking with Dr. Adam Francisco about the apologetics of Martin Luther. We will take up the context in which Martin Luther found himself engaging in apologetics throughout his entire career, by the way, some of it a little later in life as well, when we come back from this break. Dr. Francisco is Associate Professor of History and Political Thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the apologetics of Martin Luther. Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest. Apropos of the subject, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Very first day of June, folks. It's Religion on Trial, Cross-Examining Religious Truth Claims, written by Craig Parton, a regular guest here on the program. He is, well, I'd put him on that kind of number one apologetics team with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, who is also a favorite of our listeners as well. You can find out more about Religion on Trial at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Religion on Trial, Cross-Examining Religious Truth Claims by Craig Parton, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. So let's talk about the context in which Luther found himself doing apologetics. You say it begins really, and this is more of a kind of a lifelong endeavor for him, that ended very sadly in, I don't know, grumpy polemics. But he was an apologist vis-a-vis the Jews, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Throughout most of his career, he gets a, you know, a kind of a bad rap, and some might add, rightly so, because for late in life, he had sort of had enough, and he penned three pretty awful works in the 1540s that were also used by the National Socialists in the 1930s and early 40s. And they are awful, but there's a lot more, well, there's at least as much other work that Luther wrote addressing the Jews from the 1520s and 1530s that is tremendously evangelical and apologetical.
You say that it went beyond merely an Old Testament, a Christian Old Testament professor, which is what Luther essentially was, debating the meaning of passages with his Jewish counterparts.
Yeah, so that was the primary debate he, and this is a debate in books and letters, but for Luther, the issue between Christians and Jews was whether Jesus was the Messiah or not, and for the bulk of Luther's works, it was, did the Old Testament predict the sort of Messiah that Christians claimed that Jesus was? But Luther would go beyond, and he would use, not a whole lot, but he will use historical proofs. For example, he will offer arguments for the resurrection of Jesus. He will use some Jewish authors like Josephus and Philo of Alexandria to bolster his case that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament predicting the Messiah.
You actually note that there was at least one person, a Jew, who read Luther, attended Wittenberg University, and eventually converted to Christianity.
Yeah, that's found in just I've not been able to, because I don't know that we have the sort of historical evidence that we need to make a full case for that. But there is a footnote in I believe it's in the Martin Chemnitz's Loci that refers to a man who read Luther's writings addressing Judaism, his early writings, and it became a Christian and went to study at the University of Wittenberg. And I've encountered a couple other references in works, though they never have footnotes to the sources or the evidence from which they make their claims. But I suspect we do know that the University of Wittenberg, under Luther's tenure, or when Luther was there, that there were a few, maybe we could add quite a few, Jews or former Jews who were studying Old Testament or Hebrew or Christian theology there.
Another subject of Luther's apologetic endeavor had to do with Islam. What was the shape of that, Dr. Francisco?
Well, that's like the issue with the Jews. It starts off in the 1520s, and one of the things about the Reformation that's oftentimes glossed over is the Pope and the Emperor, one of the reasons they were not able to deal with Luther the way they dealt with earlier, if you will, heretics like John Huss, is because they were distracted by the challenge that the Ottoman Turks, the Muslim, Sunni Muslim Ottoman Turks, were posing to Christendom in the 1520s in particular, as the Ottoman Turks are marching up the Danube River basin. By 1529, they're banking on the gates of Vienna. And it's at that time that Luther himself starts, mostly because he's prodded by his friends to address the issue of the Turks in 1529 in particular. He writes a work called On War Against the Turk, where he dresses down the crusading rhetoric of the papacy and makes a case for a defensive war against the Turk, and also includes a little portion in that book addressing the claims of Islam, but very briefly, because, as he put it, he had not read all the primary sources he needed to with regard to Islam, so he says he's going to wait. And by the 1540s, he finally has had a chance to read the Quran, which probably he read maybe at least two, perhaps three times by 1543. And he writes a preface to the Quran, has the Quran, or is one of the instrumental figures behind the publication of the Quran for the first time in 1543. And then he translates what I think is the most sophisticated and certainly the most influential apologetic work written against Islam from the Middle Ages. He translates it out of Latin into German, and in a very parochial or pedestrian way, so that soldiers going off to fight the Turks would be able to understand the argumentation. And he says in the introduction that he writes for the book, which is usually, you could translate it, against the law of the Saracens, or against the Quran, might be a better way of translating that book. But in the introduction, he says he's translated that work so that Christians who are on the front lines, if they're taken captive or made prisoners of war or sold into slavery in the Ottoman Empire, they would have enough arguments where they'd be able to defend the truthfulness of Christianity, and if the opportunity presented itself, they'd be able to make a case for Christianity vis-a-vis a Muslim audience.
So by way of summary then, Dr. Francisco, what would you say was, there's never a system of apologetics. He's an occasional apologist, that he's doing it kind of on the fly, ad hoc apologist. But can we detect in Martin Luther's apologetics kind of a central principle or a central defensive position that he assumes vis-a-vis Judaism or any of the other things wherein he's an apologist?
Absolutely. So interesting thing you mentioned here, where Luther is not, he's sort of an occasional apologist when the occasion presents itself, which is exactly what 1 Peter 3:15 would exhort the Christian to do, is to be prepared in whatever context to give a reason for the hope within us. So Luther does not present a system of apologetics the way modern apologetic scholars do. He takes on the issues as they are put before him. But in all of his work, his apologetic work, one thing stands out, and it's best illustrated in a work he wrote in 1530, sometimes translated a muster sermon against the Turk. In the second half of that work, he says that when it comes to the Christian living amidst the Turk or the Muslim, the best defense they have for their faith is the death and resurrection of Jesus. So for Luther, his apologetics are not philosophical. They're not scientific, certainly in a modern sense of the term, but they're all, he would pin the truth claims of Christianity on the death and resurrection of Jesus, much the way you mentioned Craig Parton at the break, or Dr. Montgomery or Dr. Rosenblatt have done for all these years.
Dr. Adam Francisco is Associate Professor of History and Political Thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California. He's author of the book Martin Luther and Islam, and a recent column for Concordia Theological Quarterly titled Luther's Use of Apologetics. Dr. Francisco, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time reviewing a movie that has been hotly anticipated. Well, it's also been hotly boycotted, too. People who are refusing to go see a Star Wars movie. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Why is that? And how does it stack up when you try and take one of the most iconic characters from late 21st century film, Han Solo, recast a younger actor to play him, and then tell his backstory in a Star Wars story that doesn't have the Force in it? We'll do a review of the movie Solo, A Star Wars Story with Pastor Ted Geese right after this. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. The Issues Etc. 300.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. Ed Gruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.